Chapter 5. I'll call you at home at 4:30 and let you know if you come and pick me up, said George, removing the keys from his leather case. Don't race around. Thanks, George, said Ron, not looking up at his stepfather. Something in him wouldn't allow him to feel good about anything George did for him. All he heard was, don't race around. The door slammed. George headed for the entrance of the shop where he was a foreman. Power and security crept into his step. Only two people on the other side of that door could tell him what to do. If Mario would let him trim some of the dead wood out of the rest of the staff, they would get a good product with less of an overhead. In George's eyes, Mario was his second father. He was the principal owner and deserved whatever he needed because without Mario, he wouldn't be able to eat. Ron threw some gravel as he took the Oldsmobile out of the parking lot and finally headed back to school. He changed the radio station, turned the volume up to its loudest blare, rolled down the window, and stuck out his elbow, picking up speed on the way to a freedom which had, up till now, eluded him. He pulled the car into the college's driveway, oblivious to the yellow speed bumps, and thought he'd run over a bicycle. Felt the Olds lurch, and then heard it scrape the ground. Shit, he cried, and threw the gear shift into park. Two fucking cars in four fucking days? Way to fucking go! He looked for damage and glared at the size of the bump and the fact that it had been put there intentionally. He turned to the nearest college building and snarled. Inside of the building, Ron sat in an empty, pastel-colored room, looking out of a window that opened into one of the parking lots that surrounded the place. There were still 15 minutes to go before the class was supposed to begin, and the empty desks embarrassed him. He got up and headed for the door. Just as he got there and opened it, he found himself at an awkward standstill with a young woman set to enter. He nodded and held the door for her and started down the hall to get coffee. Cafeteria crowd noise was startling. Overridden by the radio station speakers, it was loud, but he could take it. He stood at the end of the nearest line and looked for a familiar or desirable face. His body flexed when he noticed that over half of the people in the room were women, who probably weren't attached that anyone that strongly. With excellent hand-eye coordination, he squeezed every breast that he could. He inhaled deeply and brought his hand to his stomach to ensure himself that he'd given the appearance of being flat. The line evaporated and he received his container of coffee from a middle-aged dyed blonde with a saggy arm. As he made his way back to the hall, the coffee spilled on his hand. He didn't flinch, but he did turn around for some napkins and a lid for the coffee. A thin, brown-haired guy with a prominent Adam's apple walked up to him. The guy lit a cigarette, then dropped the metal lighter back into his pocket with a chime. He smiled, exhaled, and acknowledged Ron. What do you think of this place? He said in a non-committal tone. Ron gulped some coffee, drew in on his own cigarette, and looked away. It's pretty good, he said, unable to think of anything else to say. Pretty good. Back in the classroom, By the time things were supposed to begin, Ron counted 20 people. It seemed to him there had been more last time. He wondered if the ones who weren't there were the smarter ones. Wearing jeans and a long-sleeved work shirt covered by a red wool vest, Warren Lashley walked into the room 5 minutes after the class was supposed to have begun, carrying a stack of photocopied papers, two large lidded containers of coffee. He placed the materials on the desk and stared down at them for what seemed like a full minute. A giggle sounded from the back of the room. Lashley peered out into the class. He mumbled inaudible bit of advice to himself and anybody in the class who was able to read lips. Going through a still silent period of dramatic confusion about the order he intended for things, he split up the pile of papers. He then opened his vest and produced a pouch of tobacco, which he stuffed into a pipe, so he called roll. He undid the first of the coffee containers and backed over to the windowsill. What words would you use to describe God or his opposites? The instructor asked, eyes fixed on some unrecognizable point. Seconds later, he brought them back to the class. No one ventured an answer. Lashley waited a sufficient length of time, struck a match, puffed on his pipe a few times, took a swallow of coffee before he said, "My name is Warren Lashley. I'm from the South." He brought his knee up to the windowsill and rested his coffee arm elbow on it before continuing. "It has come to my attention for quite some time now, really, that America, and I love her, is in deep trouble. There are obvious outward signs of this trouble, and I prefer not to dwell on them. What I intend to explore are the more real problems of the exhaustion of our cultural underpinnings. I am talking about the sickness that has come to the concepts upon which we have been built." "Great," Ron said to himself. "And what the fuck does this have to do with English?" Lashley resumed. "Now, all of you have either been at this college for a year or have shown some talent in the field of language. Language is what binds us to the cultural foundations of our society." As he talked, he emptied the first container of coffee, discarded it. Then he undid the second lid and placed the container carefully on the sill. After that, he divided one slab of the blackboard in half and repeated, "What words describe God and his opposites?" At the end of his question, Lashley pointed to a girl who hadn't raised her hand. "Love," she answered. Lashley grinned broadly. "Well, that's what your generation is supposed to be about." He raised his eyes over the top of his glasses and gave the class an incredulous stare. Ron tried to get a look at the girl who'd made the comment, but Lashley had moved on to the guy in back of her. "Power," the guy said. Ron could see him with no trouble. He had buck teeth and chipmunk cheeks. Ron was the fourth person in the row, and he had no idea what he would say. Lashley pointed to a raised hand on the other side of the room. "Big brother," Ron heard the sarcastic voice say. Everyone laughed, and Ron wondered what they were laughing about as he mentally worked to formulate a word while waiting for the question to come back his way. As students gave their answers, Lashley recorded them on the board. When someone said, "expanded consciousness," Lashley was momentarily stumped with the spelling and gave up his attempt with an abbreviation. Telling the class in confidential tones that penmanship and spelling weren't his strong points. "Most of my writing now is done on a typewriter anyway," he added. Ron was interested. His own handwriting and spelling usually put him at odds with English teachers. Lashley ended his digression with, "The result is we're exploring English literature much more than English this year." Ron wasn't sure he understood the difference and let his attention wander around the room. An expensively dressed girl with unbelievably long hair and a face covered with soft pink freckles was bobbing her head in agreement with Lashley, and she caught his eye. After about 10 people had given their words, Ron watched Lashley walk back to his container of cooling coffee, take a quick sip, and headed for the stacks of photocopy sheets. He spoke quickly as he distributed them to the group. "Here is the syllabus and the course requirements. I expect you always to have your reading done prior to the date which appears on the calendar. Any of you who wish to earn A or B should make an appointment to see me about additional requirements. If you do not see me, I shall assume you are working for a C. A C can be attained by reading all of the assigned material, keeping a journal that will be collected, and coming to class regularly." Ron thought that should be enough to an A, and whispered it to himself. He looked down the list and saw one of the class readings was the story of Abraham and Isaac, and then back up to the instructor with, "Are you kidding me?" written across his face. He hadn't come to college to read the Bible, and this guy seemed more than a little nuts. Lashley pointed to the board and said all the words up there were used to describe a Christian God-devil duality. Some of them are even more limited to the Catholic understanding of things, he explained. "Only this word," Lashley circled power and brought a line over to the other side of the board, "seems to be a universal." He paused, reconsidering the list of words. "I'm not sure what this word," he said, drawing multiple circles around love, "means anymore. But I think the Christian version is dangerous and ultimately fatal." He tapped the end of the chalk on the word power and said, "See you next time." At that moment, the hand of the girl who'd said love shot into the air. "Can I see you about my grade now?" she asked. Lashley gave a grin that made his Abraham Lincoln mole disappear. "If you've got some time to wait," he said, "I can see you in about 20 minutes. The girl nodded her head, and Lashley turned back to the remainder of papers on his desk as the classroom emptied. Ron hit the hallway and zoomed around the cafeteria. There were no seats, and the din blew him back into the hall. So he made his way through the glass doors that opened into a quad. He sat on a patch of grass next to a recently landscaped evergreen and looked at the syllabus. Western Literature, A Search for Madness. He stated the things that had already been said in class and went on to declare that all papers will be graded and commented on with a happy face that indicated acceptance, or a sad face that indicated rejection. Ron didn't understand the point of drawing stupid faces instead of giving grades. Additionally, most classes should be preceded by a comment that you feel sums up the reading of the day, placed on the sideboard before the beginning of class. I reserve the right not to start class until half of the students present have commented, the professor wrote. Ron scanned the reading list, but didn't recognize any of the other titles. There were one or two books that he'd heard of, but that was all. He didn't really like sitting around reading, and the work that this piece of paper represented didn't cheer him. He looked up in time to see Lashley and the first girl in the first seat walking along the quad together. Lashley threw back his head with a cackling laugh as they entered the set of doors on the other side of the quad. Ron got up and started for the parking lot, wondering who would be at the bowling alley.